Morning, church. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray now as we look into your word, we ask that you will minister to us by your spirit, that you speak to us personally, to see ourselves in the light of your word, and to prepare ourselves always, as we live in this world, to be overcomers, to always be like the rock that is anchored in you, that will not be shaken. So help us, Lord, as we commit this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some things I want to share with you before we start on the message proper. A couple of pastoral issues. Number one is about standing for righteousness. You probably know by now, elections is around the corner. Alright, we think it's going to be on September the 12th. I didn't get it from the highest authority. Your guess is as good as mine. But what I want to encourage all of us is to take this opportunity, alright? Because rarely do you have politicians coming to your house, knocking on your doors, coming at the MRT stations, to the food court and so forth, alright? And you will have a divine appointment, a divine connection, face to face with them. State your stand on righteousness, your views about faith and your family. Okay? Your family. Ask the politician, what is his stand on the family? On the natural family, alright? As we understand it to be a family of a man and a woman with children. Use that opportunity to communicate your stand and that you are here in Singapore, you value the family, you love the family, we love our children, and we are voting people into government for the generations to come. Alright? So this is an opportunity to state your stand about your faith and your family. The second issue pertains to some questions that was posed to me about salvation, about those who are saved or those who are unsaved. Very clearly from scriptures, the unsaved are two broad categories of people. Number one, they are those who are never really born again. How to be born again? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believe in your heart, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Very clear. Okay? So you have done that, you are born again. You have never really done that, you are not born again. The second category will be those so-called Christians, alright, who call themselves Christians, who in their sound mind, they must be sound mind, alright, who deny the Lord, who reject the Lord all the way up to their last breath. I emphasize the last breath because once you miss the last breath, you are ushered into eternity. That's it. That means those who turn apostate, those who reject God all the way until death, and this is done intentionally, it is done deliberately, it is done explicitly in your conscious mind. Not when you're mad, okay? Sometimes when we're mad, we're angry, we say rubbish, okay? God understands that, He excuses us. But this is where we deliberately does it, then you are unsaved, you lose your salvation. Okay? Very clearly on the weight of scriptures. The third issue concerns personal prophecies. Last weekend, we had our brother Samuel Walston. As you know, many of us are blessed and ministered. At the Saturday service, that's supposed to end at 6:45 to 7. We finished about 9 plus in the night. The first service last week ended about 11:30 a.m. And the second service ministry went all the way to 3 plus p.m. Okay? Many are blessed. But that's why they bring us all back to the exhortation of scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. Number one, do not quench the Holy Spirit when He is moving. Number two, do not despise prophecies. And when we have personal prophecies, number three, we have to test all things. Take the meat, throw away the bones. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Okay? So the personal prophecy that is given is only the first part, knowledge. All three parts must align. It's only knowledge. That means the personal prophecy must mean something to you. It is something in your life, it will confirm, it will validate, it will point to something where you're seeking God for guidance with which you are already wrestling before God or contemplating or considering. Do not seek personal prophecy, do not seek a word of the Lord like fortune telling. You know what I mean? Because I know of some believers who go from conference to conference, speakers to speakers, seminars to seminars, alright, like fortune telling, seeking a word from the Lord. I rather we as the disciple making church seek the word. It's more important to seek the word, which is the entire written Logos and the Rhema. Okay? Rather than pursuing a word in and of itself. Get what I'm trying to say? So normally, that's as we give words of knowledge at the end of the service, we always say this phrase, if this word means something to you, it has to mean something to you. Somebody with a backache, not everybody has got a backache, alright? Somebody, we see somebody in a cage, that means somebody in bondage, not everybody is in bondage, Okay? Or so I see somebody soaring with wings like eagles. Alright? The Lord wants to give you into a hallelujah position of floating in the air, of overcoming. Alright? So different words means different things to different people. So personal prophecies must mean something to you. Then you seek the Lord for understanding. This is in 1 Corinthians 14. You weigh the word. You measure the word. There must be spiritual understanding. There must be clarity. Alright? This only is the second leg. Not over yet. Then the third leg is wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge and understanding. Then you know what to do. Then the word will edify you. Then the word will build you up. Then this personal prophecy will build the church. That's what personal prophecies are all about, as depicted on the weight of scriptures. Get what I'm trying to say? Alright, we had a wonderful time with Samuel Wilson. I had breakfast with him. He loves cheese prata. Alright, he's really a miracle, this guy. And with all his ministry, he's coming back in January. We're going to have him again. Okay, like you see, from this pulpit, we want to teach the full counsel of God. Alright, he comes here every 6 months for various reasons because of his ministry. And we're going to have him again in January 2016. We already booked him for the 16th, 17th of January. Okay, alright, let's go into the main message. I have avoided reviewing the message 2 weeks ago because we don't have enough time. You need to check it out, go into the website. But let's continue. We always come into God's presence by the blood of the Lamb and through Jesus, our High Priest. This will be the third time this year over the pulpit where we are giving handles of our coming into the presence of God. You can come into the presence of God as you are doing your swimming, as you are jogging, as you are showering, as you are on the train, on the bus, alright, or in Sunday, in church. There's only two passports, there's only two passwords into the very presence of God. The first one is by the blood of the Lamb. If you came late just now in a half and half because first service was late, alright, the speaker was Chong Hei, alright, and then you didn't get along with somebody, alright, just come 1 John 1 9. Lord forgive me, I was irritated by my sales supervisor, who asked me how come I didn't show up at the meeting last week, or whatever, okay? So, just 1 John 1 9. Come by the blood. And secondly, we come through Jesus because Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. I am not your mediator. Neither is your cell leader. There's only one mediator between God and men. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you look at this scripture, which is shown on this screen umpteen times, it encourages us to have boldness, to have confidence, to come into the presence of God, the holiest, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus, through Jesus, the high priest over the house of God. And verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We are fully assured. Faith comes from where? Faith comes from the word. Our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, our bodies, our lives washed with pure water. What is pure water? The word of God, the living word of God, the word of God. Okay, so remember this. Secondly, we cast all our stress, anxieties, and fears to God. All of us face SAF every day. All of us face stress of one kind or the other. Anxieties about tomorrow. Anxieties about relationship. Is it working out? Is it not working out? Fears about what will happen tomorrow. At the end of the service, I'm going to talk about the Shemitah and the blood moons and so forth. What is going to happen? Is the stock market going to crash? There's a panic now in the U.S. People are scrambling to store up food. Alright? Hearing what is going to come. Next month will be the climax of the fourth blood moon in 2014 and 2015. Next month will be the 7 year, the Shemitah year. Every 7 year, in the last 2 7-year cycles, we've seen a collapse of the stock market. The U.S. Army and the U.S. police, not U.S. police, they are doing things that they have not done before. They're moving things and opening up the Cheyenne Mountains. The banks in New York City, they are shifting their data from New York City now to Chicago. They're anticipating, expecting some calamity to happen on the east coast of the states. Stress, anxieties, and fears. Coming closer to home. Personally, we all have stress, anxieties, and fears. I have a lot of stress, anxieties, and fears. What do? We cast it to the Lord. We pray until we experience the peace of God guarding our minds. Guarding our minds from all the wild imaginations. What if this happened? What if that doesn't happen? What if my investments are all wiped out? What if I don't have enough savings? What if I'm retrenched? Alright?
pray until the peace of God guards your mind and guards your heart from all the topsy-turvy emotions. We all have stress, anxieties and fears. This is common to men. What should we do? We must cast them to the Lord. All right. I'm going to give you 1 minute to connect with God by the blood and through Jesus. And within this minute, cast what is currently bothering you. What is currently on your radar screen? Would you cast it to the Lord? Let's do that right now. The only way to learn to pray is to pray. All right. So let's do it now, everybody in this sanctuary. Okay, good. I'm sure most of you connected. Some of you will take probably a little longer, but it's okay. I just want you to get the feel of it. The third thing we do when we come into the presence of God is to give thanks from a grateful heart. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. This past week, I was reading this tool, all right, where this is a secular tool, like your StrengthsFinder, yeah, the MBTI. This one is a research about the well-being, how to have a well-being, PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Some of you may be familiar with this. And they ask the question, which character strengths, all right, after doing this template, this psychometric test of 24 character strengths, which character strengths are predictors of a person's well-being? And after going through all the psychometric tests, all the results that come in, they found that the single best predictor of well-being is gratitude. This applies to Christians and non-Christians. Gratitude, thanksgiving, is a predictor of the well-being of a person. When a person is grateful, when a person is thankful for what he has, what he has received, what has been given to him, what he has inherited, what he is enjoying in life, this is the best indicator of your well-being in life. And you will go through life, through this psychometric test, all right? PERMA, where they examine this in 5 different groupings, that this is the best indicator of your well-being in life. So what we're going to do, I'd like you to think of one, there's too many things to thank God for, right? Just 3 things. Number one, one thing in your personal life you're thankful to God for currently. One thing in your family you're currently thankful to God for. And one thing in BBTC you're currently grateful and thanking God for. Would you do that now? The next 1 minute. 3 things. Your personal life, your family, and BBTC. Okay? And this is a good habit, a good spiritual discipline to cultivate. Jesus told the parable of the 10 lepers that were healed, but only one returned to give thanks. Paul mentioned in Romans 1:21 that if we want more wisdom in our lives, we need to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving. It is not automatic in our lives. It is not automatic to be thankful, to thank someone for what the person has done for you and given to you. This is the discipline that has to be cultivated. We need to grow in thanksgiving. And Romans 1:21 says one of the judgments of God on mankind are those who are unthankful, ungrateful. Romans 1:21. And what will happen for these people, their thinking will become futile, worthless. The opposite of this is true. If we are thankful and we are grateful, we find we will receive wisdom. Wisdom from God. Wisdom to live our lives. Alright, based on Romans 1:21. The fourth thing we do as we come into the presence of God, we continue with praise. Praise takes us one step further. It takes us one level deeper than thanksgiving. We thank God for what He has done. We thank God for what He has given to us. But praise goes behind the source of our thanksgiving. Praise brings us to the character of God. It brings us to the attribute of God, to the nature of God, to who God is behind what He has done, what He has given to us. Psalms 103 verse 1 to 5 is a very familiar psalm. We sang the song, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." All right, it's from this psalm. We thank Him. All right, every day. Daily He loads us with benefits. Every day with benefits. Lord, we forget not that You forgive us our sins. I nearly lost my temper the other day. You were irked. You were frustrated. Lord, forgive me. He forgives. There's forgiveness available for every child of God. He heals all our diseases, our infirmities. In the office, your colleague caught this flu bug full blown. One course of antibiotics, MC for 5 days. But you were sniffling, you were having a little body ache, you quickly took 5,000 milligram of vitamin C, you drank 3 liters of water, you slept like whatever, alright, and then you were well, okay? Who heals all your sickness and diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, protection. You know, our guardian angels work very hard. Sometimes you look at a traffic light junction, you see the way people cross the road, and you first find that this person had almost had an accident and totally unaware of it. And there are many things that could have happened to us. We were protected by our guardian angels and we're not even consciously aware of that. He protects us. He redeems us from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I love this. God is not only kind, He combines His kindness soaked with His love. Loving kindness. Every day, every morning, His mercies are new. And He soaks His mercies with tenderness, with sensitivity. This is our God. And that's why we bless Him and we give Him praise. Who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I know those of you who are entering into your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, you will appreciate this a lot more. With age, with aging, with a losing of energy or whatever, alright? It's not easy to enjoy the many good things of life that you enjoy in your teens and 20-somethings. And when He satisfies you, wow. It's wow. And we give Him thanks, we give Him praise. I see a lot of heads nodding, alright? Okay. And therefore we bless Him. We give Him praise. Okay? Praise is defined in Hebrews 13:15 as the fruit of our lips confessing His name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. What is in His name? Therefore we want to increase our praise vocabulary. We don't just want to sing the lyrics of the songs. We want to sing and pray and praise. We want to break through the ceiling. And that comes when we know God and know His attributes. We always refer to this Jeremiah 9:24. This is the attribute of God our Father. He's always just, always loving, always righteous simultaneously. Our Lord Jesus, who is He? He is the Word. He's full of grace and truth. He's He who was and is to come. He's the resurrection and the life. He holds the keys of death and Hades. He's conquered death and He's demolished the mother of death, the fear of death. And He set us free from this bondage of the fear of death. He's the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, the lover of our souls. Jesus, the bright and morning star. Jesus, the way, the truth and the life. And then the Holy Spirit, our alongsider, our paracletos. He journeys with us alongside life. He sees us through the ups and the downs. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into all truth. We ask the Holy Spirit to protect us from lies, from deception, from error. And He can, because He is the Spirit of truth. So we need to enlarge our praise vocabulary, all right? And then we come to stage 5, where it says that worship is surrender. We come to the point of, by the blood of the Lamb, you cast our cares to the Lord, we give thanks, we render praise, and we come to the stage of worship where there are some things in our lives that are still not resolved. There are some prayers that are not answered. We are still not completely healed. There are some issues we have not resolved. There are some conflicts that are not reconciled. There are some matters that are still disturbing you. And this is where in worship, we surrender. We surrender because we can only do so much and the rest we don't know is outside our hands. We surrender to God. We say, Lord, into Your hands. Into Your hands I commit my life. My life and my times are in Your hands. This job, this struggle in your job, it's been for a long while, for a long season. We have to come to the point of surrender. This matter about relationship. He loves me, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not. Is it happening? Is it not happening? Surrender. This matter of about your children, your teenage children, their disobedience, their wrong company, and you cannot nag them anymore. Alright? They turn off when you nag. So what do? Surrender. We have to come to the point of total surrender, let go and let God. This is what worship is all about. Presenting yourselves, your bodies, your lives, a living sacrifice. Not conform to the world, And in the process of surrender, God will speak to you. In the process of surrender, He will teach you how to pray. In the process of surrender, you will know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And when we pray and when we connect with God, we must do so with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I want to encourage all of us, when we come in corporate worship, when we sing the song, sing from our hearts, sing empathically. When the worship leader facilitates worship, all right? When we clap, we all clap. When we sing in unison. When they say shout, we shout. And I love the part where he said, I've played a few songs, all go, All right? So we sing and we pray and we pray and we sing. Bring our personal tongues. We moan, we groan. You know why? When we do all that, the Holy Spirit helps us. When it's a matter in our life, we can pray in English for all we can do. Sometimes we pray and come to the end, we do not know what else to pray for. And then we pray in our personal tongues. And then sometimes we sigh, we moan. We just sit there in the presence of God, in the MRT train, on the bus, and we ponder and we meditate. Lord, how? You know? And in our mutterings and our groanings, the Holy Spirit helps us. He says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray. For as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I've been observing some of these praise songs of late. They say, alright, sing it as unto the Lord. They are not just fearless, alright, nothing better to do, you know. Alright. But sing your oaths and your whatever, make the melodious noise to the Lord. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That means He combines the prayer in English, what we pray with our mind, with understanding. He combines our prayer tongues, our moanings and our groanings, and He aligns it and fills up the incense in the bowl according to the will of God. That's how we connect with the Holy Spirit. And we come to verse 28, which we are very familiar. Verse 28, I prefer the other translation. He says, God works all things for good. All things in on themselves do not work for good. It's not automatic. It's God who works all things for good. For who? For you and me. Alright? This should be paraphrased, for those whom God loves. Don't ever have a preacher to say to you, for those who love God, how much do you love God? You know what? We can never love God. From this pulpit we have learned, 1 John 4:10, not that we love God, but that He loves us. So I know that God loves me. I am His child. I am a child of God. So banish all fears. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears. God, You will work all things for good in my life. Why? I am a child of God. Why? I am deeply loved. Why? Because God loves me. And secondly, God has called me to His purpose. God has called you to His purpose. Every one of us, every child of God, you have a personal destiny. When you pursue God's destiny for you, He will work all things for good in your life. The onus is not on us. The onus is on us to surrender. The onus is on us to connect with God. The onus is on us to stand upon the promises of God. This is not contingent, verse 28, on our performance. We can't. It's all due to the mercy and the grace of God. The love of the Father God. How much He loves us. How much He delights in you. And how much He delights in me. Praying regularly for others. How do we regularly pray for others? I often wondered how Paul can say, I do not cease to give thanks for you. How Paul mentioned, we give thanks in 1 Thessalonians 1, to always for you. How can Paul do that always? The secret is to make mention of their names. Similarly, in 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve, I remember you in my prayers night and day. I dare not say that, but now I can say. How? By making mention. When I discovered this many years ago, when we have our Saturday morning prayer, I can say I can pray for all the elders by name, their spouses by name, the children by name. What I do is I develop long prayers. In my routine day, routine week, long prayers. On the days where I overslept, summarize prayer. All right. So, in those days, when Brother Jeff had the appointment as an elder, I pray for Brother Jeff, Sister Alice, Charmaine, and Sean, the family, alright, husband, wife, I can pray for them by name, Raymond, Pauline, Joshua, alright, Jerry, Samantha, Julian, Jonathan, alright, I can know them by name, Gordon, Elsie, Felicia, husband, Quee, alright, Jolene, and the grandchild, Ethan. How I can remember? because you pray for them by name in the routine prayers, routine week. But on the day you don't have enough time, Lord, I commit all the elders and spouse and children to you in Jesus' name. Does God hear the prayer? Yes, it's the same. Okay? So you just make mention. Now, in this church, every cell group has got a WhatsApp group. If you don't have, ask your leader, how come don't have a WhatsApp group? And the purpose of that, ultimately, in this church, alright, is that anything that is not routine, is surfaced all the way to the pastors for pastoral prayer covering. For example, recently, there was a young lady who had an accident somewhere in West Malaysia. Alright, contacted the parents who were in Singapore, who had relatives in KL, connect. Within minutes, the prayer item went to all the elders and all the pastors, and we prayed. And she was okay. Alright, connected to hospital and all that. Why? It's because of the connection. You need to be connected. This month, we're giving out t-shirts by cell groups. Next month, we're giving out t-shirts also by cell groups. Those who are not in cell groups, you know why members got privileges? If you're not in a cell group, you'll receive your t-shirt in October just before anniversary. You need to belong to a cell group for your own sake. You need to be plugged in the body life. It's been my concern interacting with different people, especially those of you who are working in parachurch organizations, mission agencies. I find a number are loosely attending church. A number are not plugged in the local church, the body life of the church, and this is not good. I'm not scolding you, I'm gently reminding you. Prayer. Because in the cell group, I don't expect the cell group leader to pray for my missionary, our missionary in India, or a missionary somewhere in the Middle East. You don't even know who, right? But I expect the cell group leader, together with the member, to pray for each other by name every day. Do you know every member of your cell group by name? Their spouses by name, their children by name. This is minimal, basic. And as every cell group does this, every ministry does this, we build up an incense to the Lord, which is why this church is always blessed. We are always blessed. It's because we connect with God. It's because we bring heaven down. And because of His mercy and grace. And that's how we can pray regularly. And that's what we do every Saturday morning. That's what we do from Monday to Fridays. Every pastor will anchor a house of prayer Mondays to Fridays. Mid-morning, mid-afternoon. Before this service, there's prayer. Before the service, during the service, after the service. That's how we get the words of knowledge. In the Saturday service now, we have a special prayer time, 4:30 to 4:50 before the Saturday service. Everything is soaked in prayer. It is not bottlenecked by a pastor, a leader, an elder. Everyone prays. Everybody participating. When you come into this sanctuary in worship, don't come in a huff and puff. Come and participate, and together we bring up our incense to God. There are greater things for all of us. There's greater things for BBTC. We don't just want to live for ourselves. We enjoy the presence of God. We enjoy the Word of God. We are nourished. We are edified. We are blessed to be a blessing to all those people out there. There are a lot more people to be reached for the Lord. And that's what this is all about. Pray for the salvation of pre-believers. I want to share two sets of scriptures to pray strategically. One of the replies that came about persevering in prayer and frustration and struggles in prayer is because it involves our pre-believing relatives, parents, children, and friends. And why? Because God honors the will of every human being. Okay? And we know from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 6, they remain pre-believers because their minds have been blinded, there is spiritual blindness from the God of this world. And the spiritual blindness means that they are in darkness, and the darkness can only be displaced when the light of the glory of the gospel shines upon them. All right. And what happens is there is this stronghold in the minds of every pre-believing. I think many of you are praying for your mothers, your fathers, they're still not saved. Or your brother or your sister. Why? Because there is this stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. And this verse tells us this stronghold that blocks the knowledge of God in their lives comprises two components. One component is arguments. The Greek word there is logizomi, in which you get the word logic. Arguments are human arguments. They argue all roads lead to Rome. All religions are the same. Is it the same? No. They say that, oh, life is all there is in this life. You live 70, 90 years, that's it. After that, you just disappear and vanish. Is that so? No. The Bible says we will all be resurrected. Some resurrected to everlasting life, some resurrected to everlasting damnation. This is mentioned in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel about this resurrection. So there are a lot of human arguments, and for human arguments, we can refute the arguments. Apologetics, alright? But sometimes you refute the arguments, no use. You win an argument, you lose a person. And what normally happens is this argument is reinforced by this other word called every high thing. NIV says this is translated as every pretension. The Greek word there is hypsoma, is a demonic spirit guide. The demonic spirit guide reinforces the arguments, which is of human origin, and erects it as a stronghold that blocks the knowledge of God. And the analogy is something I've given before. It's like you want to cross the field, have a shortcut to the MRT station. Alright? There's a big field out there. Okay? So rather than walking in the L, you want to do Pythagoras theorem, right? You cut right across. So the contractor casts this 2 meter wide footpath, just cement and sand, boom! For human pedestrians, no problem. You can walk. But you want to have a 10-ton truck to drive over this footpath, the 10-ton truck will destroy the footpath. Why? The footpath does not have the strength to carry the weight of the 10-ton truck. So the contractor will demolish it. Now he put steel bars. Then he casts a higher grade of cement. Now he casts it. Now the strength of what you call this, reinforced concrete. Talk to the engineers. It is X times stronger than a footpath of just sand and cement. Now the 10-ton truck can go over it and it won't crack up. This is what happens to this stronghold. The stronghold, the demonic spirit guide reinforces the human arguments, is erected, and the blindness remains in the lives of our pre-believing fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, friends, and colleagues. Therefore, how should we pray? You must pray strategically. In the name of Jesus, to demolish the arguments. In the name of Jesus, to cast out these high things in their lives. We need to pray tactically. We need to pray regularly. We need to pray smartly. Prayer is a skill again. Prayer is a discipline to be learned. The disciples went to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. That's like a chef. Alright, how you cook up a nice, good dish. Why some restaurants got long queues, may have to make reservations. Some restaurants, nobody wants to go. You can step in anytime. Alright, it's the same thing with prayer. These are laws of prayer. These are principles of prayer. Okay, so for those of us who are laboring, amongst other promises like Acts 10:31, you claim the promise, as for me and my household, all will be saved. I prayed for 44 years before my father came to know the Lord. And he came to know the Lord 7 years ago. Now he's 91, he came to know the Lord when he was 84. So don't give up, alright? You may feel discouraged, don't give up, pray for the salvation of your loved ones. Next thing is to pray the word to cover all the areas of our lives. Pray the word of God. This leader wrote to me, alright, I've learned to switch from praying all over the place to learning to pray and declare the truth, the word of God. I ask the Lord that in my home there will always be harmony. Where there is anger, there is conflict, alright, remember we taught you, pray Proverbs 22:10. Whenever there is strife, there is quarrels, you cast and bind the spirit of mockery. The scoffer, you cast out the scoffer, all quarrels will cease. Test that out. Alright, in your home. Speak the shalom of God, the peace of God into your home. Change the atmosphere in your home. The atmosphere in this worship in the sanctuary is changed because of prayer. And God has given us the keys to change the atmosphere. So what are the areas you pray the word? Firstly, we pray to know God better. Ephesians 1:17, we pray and ask the Holy Spirit. There are many names of the Holy Spirit. Here He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know God better. Alright? We want the grace of God, the peace of God to be multiplied into our lives. We need all the grace to meet all the needs in our lives. We need the peace of God, His shalom, the well-being. How is it multiplied in our lives? It's conditional. It's in the knowledge of God. The more we know the Father God, the more we know His attributes, the more we will experience the grace and peace. And not only that, and of Jesus our Lord, the more we know His exceedingly great and precious promises. There's no more fear in our lives. I am a child of God. Alright? We want to banish every fear. Fear of not enough. Fear of poverty. When you take your CPF out, is it going to be enough for your remaining 30, 40 years? Alright? All kinds of fears. We need to get back to the Word of God. You need to get into the promises of God. Pray to be filled with the power of the love of God. I realize this only in the last one odd year. We love verse 20 of Ephesians 3. We love this promise that God will answer exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But how? How can God answer exceedingly abundantly above all? What is the context? The context is, number 1, verse 16. We need to enlarge our spiritual capacity. He says that we may be strengthened with power, with might through the Holy Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Isn't Christ already in our hearts? Yes. But if you have small capacity, you can only dwell so much. But if we enlarge our spiritual capacity, we can receive and experience more of Christ in us, more of the love of God in us, more rooted and grounded in love. We will experience the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God. I submit to you, receiving and experiencing the love of God, to know this love that surpasses understanding, is to be filled with the fullness of God. Every Sunday when you come in worship, during the half an hour, 35, 40 minutes, alright, be washed over, be embraced, be hugged with the love of the Father. And when that happens, what happens to us? We will be rebooted. We will be recharged. We will be renewed. We will be reinvigorated. He will top up our spiritual tank. He will top up our emotional tank. He will top up our physical body. He will refresh us, spirit, soul, and body. Then you will know again and again, He answers exceedingly abundantly. Your faith is boosted. Meditate on these scriptures, memorize them, then pray in your own words to be filled with the power of His love. Next, we need to pray to grow spiritually. Study all the prayers for spiritual life and growth in the epistles. This is one of the very powerful ones. Okay, everybody read on the count of three. One, two, three, four. We want to be strengthened, verse 11, to persevere, to finish well. In verse 10, we want to walk worthy of God. We want to please the Father in every way. We want to be fruitful. We want to increase to know God more. How? Verse 9. We need to be filled, again, knowledge, spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom. We need to know God's will in increasing clarity, spiritual understanding with revelation, and increasing spiritual wisdom to know what to do. I've been praying this prayer for years. Say it in your own words. Alright? So you learn, try to memorize it in your own version and then learn to pray these scriptures, and it will help you to grow spiritually. Praying the word for your own life and growth. Praying for bodily healing. Healing is administered through the word of God. How do we know that? Psalms 107:20. God sent His word and healed them. In this case, Israel. None of them were sick during the 40 years. He sent forth His word and healed them. All right. Proverbs 3:8. The word of God is health to our flesh and strength to our bones. Why our bones? Because our bones in the marrow, it produces good cells. It strengthens our immunity. We are all seated here, and I believe almost all of us are very healthy. Why? Because there are more good cells than there are bad cells in your body. The good cells in your body overcome and kill off the germ, bacteria, virus. And the residue of that has little effect on you, or rather, not a significant effect on you. That's why you are healthy. And what gives us that strength? The Word of God. Of course, you need to have good nutrition, you need to have good exercise, you need to have good rest in the physical. But your physical is affected by the spiritual. Proverbs 4:22, the Word of God is life to those who find them. It is not automatic. Therefore, find the Word of God, pray the Word of God, and it is health to all their body or health to all their flesh. Why? Because healing is in the atonement. Isaiah 53, when Jesus died on the cross, He bore our griefs, He carried our sorrows, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, by His stripes we are healed. How do we know that? When Jesus healed the people in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, Matthew referred it back to the atonement. Matthew referred back to Isaiah 53, 3, 4, and 5. He is our healer. Exodus 15, 26. He is our Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord who heals us. And here I am talking, the Bible is talking about bodily healing. Is everybody healed? The answer is no. Is everybody who responded to altar call healed? No. Only those who respond and attend to all the areas in their lives and attend to all the issues affecting their illness, their infirmity. This is the word of the Lord. Then we pray not to stumble, not to fall. We don't want to fall. Among the leaders, the elders, the pastors, none of us wants to fall. But there are two very clear scriptures with promises that we will never fall. The first one is in 2 Peter 1 verse 10. If we make our calling election sure, we will do these things, we will never stumble. I love that. When I'm at renewal in the early 90s, I stood upon this promise. Lord, I never want to fall. The other promise is in Jude 24. Now unto Him, this is a prayer, unto Him committing ourselves to God, who is able to keep you from falling, able to keep you from stumbling. How? You need to do those things that's mentioned there. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of the Father. Keep on receiving the love of the Father. Keep on praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep on praying as the Holy Spirit guides and leads you. When you do all these things, you will never fall. Again, the key to an overcomer life, the key to live victoriously. Back to the Word. Praying for healing of soul, spirit hurts. Now, I've given this example many a times, alright? As in the physical, so is for the emotional. The illustration of playing soccer, it was raining, the field is wet, there is glass and there's grass, alright? You fell, somebody tackled you, you had a deep cut 10 inches across your right arm, you're bleeding, and you fell into the mud, yucks, alright? So you're bleeding much, you're in pain. What do you do with the wound? You clean the wound. So the first thing you do is you clean the wound, you get rid of the mud, the grass, and you try to dab away all the bleeding, alright? Second thing you do is you pour a whole bottle of Clorox onto your wound. No, not Clorox. Whole bottle of Dettol, alright? Alright, you pour your Dettol, you pour Clorox, your arm will disappear. Alright? Alright, as a bump to kill the germ bacteria, right? And lastly, you bandage your wound. Alright, you know? Similarly, spiritually. The first thing you do, Lord, I'm hurt by that sister, she insulted me. She gossiped about me. You're hurt by your cell supervisor. You're hurt by your cell leader. You're hurt by colleagues, friends, neighbors. We are hurt all the time. Every day we sustain hits, H-I-T-S, and hurts, H-U-R-T-S. I'm wounded every day. I don't know about you. But what do? Over the years, you learn to heal yourself instantly by these three steps. All of us, why? We live in a fallen world. We live amongst the people who are fallen. Words spoken, expectations not met, murmurings and so forth. So the first thing we do is apply the blood. Take this principle. So what you do is say, Lord Jesus, I take a precious blood to cleanse this wound, sustained by Elder Ricardo. All right? Or Sister Archibald, whatever she has done. Apply it specifically to that wound, to that pain, to that hurt, to that disappointment. Secondly, ask the Holy Spirit. There are many names of the Holy Spirit. There's a place in Jeremiah chapter 8, a place in Gilead, and they have this balm from Gilead. In Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, he poured all on the guy that was injured, all, ointment. All points to the Holy Spirit. And in John 15:26, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And here you are wounded, here you are in pain, here you are struggling. And here what you do in this second part, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are my comforter, will you soothe away this heartache? Will you soothe away this pain? Will you soothe away this disappointment? This disappointment about my husband, or my wife, or my sister, alright, or my child has been rude to me. I know of parents who are heartbroken over their young adult children. Alright, all the years of blood, sweat and tears to bring them up, give them a university education, now they are earning big bucks. No filial piety, no nothing, hardly see them once in a long while. Alright, parents have come to tell me, or they are broken hearted about their children. We are all wounded, especially by our loved ones. The wound is deeper when the person is closely related to you. The wound is deeper when there is blood relationship or a friendship that is very deep. We need to be healed. Apply the oil. And thirdly, ask Father God to bind up the wounds. To bind up is to wrap it up and to heal you completely. All of us have got wounds. I got a scar here. I always mention this, alright? I can hit it. It's no longer pain. No more pain, alright? That means it's properly healed. If you're still sensitive about a person, you're still sensitive about an incident, you're still sensitive about the last breakup, the last misunderstanding, the last quarrel, that means you're not completely healed. I want to give you 2 minutes. 2 minutes to apply the blood, ask the Holy Spirit to comfort her, and ask Father God to bind up your wounds. All right? In silence, 2 minutes on your own. Bring your hurts, your wounds, your pains to the Lord. Okay, I know some of you will need some more time, alright? But I've given you the handles, alright? This is for yourself and for you to minister to people that you know. Okay? By the blood, by the oil, and by the Father. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father God. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in the healing of our soul, spirit hurts. Fourthly, we pray for wisdom. We all need wisdom. This coming week, you're going to meet a customer. He's a difficult customer. He gave you a hard time, alright? He's so close to inking the deal, and he hasn't, okay? This week we have a presentation. You want to work out something in your life, you need wisdom. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God for wisdom. He will give you the wisdom and He will give you understanding. He will give you the counsel about the situation, the problem, the situation you're in. And He will give you power, He will give you might, He will give you strength to execute it. He will give you knowledge and He will give you the fear of the Lord so that He will keep you pure and protect you from falling. Ask for wisdom. Alright? There are many things. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing in every matter in life. Ask God for wisdom. Then pray for favor. I'm Kiasu, alright? And always pray this prayer. I say, Lord, you bestow favor and honor. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will you withhold from me. So sometimes there are some things in my life that I ask the Lord, but it doesn't come. And after a while, in the past, I will get frustrated, but now I will just surrender. Because I know that if He withholds that from me, it is not a good thing for me at the point of time. So let's go with the flow. Alright? This morning I wanted to come on time. I was late, a little late. Alright? Because every traffic light junction is a red light of all mornings. And what do you do? In the past, I'll be flustered. But this morning I just say, hallelujah, it's red light now. Lord, you send this red light. Okay? Alright? I went to the next junction. Oh, it's red light again. Lord, you are funny. Alright? Okay? I don't know why, but it's red light, okay? And until the last two lights, then it's green, okay? Lord, do you know that I'm being delayed? Of course He knows, alright? Why? He orders my steps. He orders the steps of the righteous man. No fear, no scan. He bestows favor and honor. And I always ask the Lord, Lord, surround me with favor as with a shield. For the 200th time you want a car park, you're rushing for a meeting, a multi-story car park, it is normally full at lunchtime. Lord, I need a car park. You come down to the third level. Now to the fourth level. Somebody just reverse out. Alright? It's coincidence for the first 50 times. But not for the 200th time. See God come true for you. Pray for protection. We know these are our three spiritual weapons. The blood of Christ, the name of Jesus, and the sword of the Spirit. Many of us know we have a big petition who is in Indonesia. Alright? And she shared prayer items. And when she first went, alright, she had to learn what it means to be a priest and king, how to pray. And initially when she stayed with a friend, there were snakes appearing in the friend's house. And next thing you know, there were a cluster of snakes. And until eventually they found the nest and destroyed the snake. And they went shopping, alright, with a friend. In the shopping, they bought 2 shirts. The 2 shirts were sealed in a plastic bag, alright. When they got home, the seal was still intact, but 1 shirt was missing. Why? It was stolen by a demonic spirit guide. They went back to the shop, checked the CCTV. They showed it was actually sealed. All right, it was sealed and they brought all the way home. And they found out, to cut the long story short, in this place in Indonesia, everybody has a demonic spirit guide. Everybody practices witchcraft. So initially, this friend of ours from BBDC, what to do? All right, prayed. And now, when she prayed among the pastors, one of the pastors saw the picture of a chicken. The neck is being slit and blood is poured into a little saucer And this saucer is used to feed this demon spirit guide. Because within hours, the blood disappeared. This only in Indonesia? No, in Thailand, they call it kuikia. They take the fetuses of aborted fetuses. Alright, when they go for abortion, they put it in a bottle, in a glass. Alright, and they will feed it with blood. This is sorcery and witchcraft. Do you think it's only happening in the neighborhood, in the neighboring countries? It's happening in Singapore. People casting spells and so forth. So we need to know our spiritual weapons. Anyway, to cut the long story short of our lady friend in Indonesia, today she says, to overcome the evil one is the easiest thing. You know what's the most difficult and frustrating thing? Dealing with leaders and missionaries and church leaders contending with their flesh. Overcoming the flesh is the most difficult. Overcoming the evil one is the easiest, followed by overcoming the world. We are a disciple-making church. The Lord wants us to be priests and kings. Some of us, this thing sounds alien to you. I know to me, I hear that in some tuition centers, the tutors practice hypnotism. Tell the students, you'll be like as a feather, meditation. You do that so that you can concentrate on your studies and you remember your subject matter content. This is being practiced. Parents, if you're sending your children to tuition centers, do you know what they are doing? This is in Singapore. Yoga. Every semblance of yoga links back to the Kundalini spirit. Every posture is linked to all the postures linked with the Kundalini spirit. Yeah. Some people say Pilates is different. No, you check with the founder of Pilates, he has got some roots back to yoga as well. Same thing for martial arts. Now, I want to say two things to qualify. There is a spectrum of practices. Just as there is a spectrum and degree of spirituality. For some believers who are stronger, I say go and find out what it's all about. Go and see Harry Potter. Go and see the occult movies. To go and find out what on earth is going on. And because you are strong, it has no effect on you. But for some believers, you better not go. You're going to have nightmares. You'll be unable to handle them. Alright? So rather than prescribe a yes and a no, a black and a white, understand this spectrum. Some are merely physical. Some are physical and come all the way to the other end. It's completely demonic. And there are believers who can handle it, there are believers who cannot handle it. So in this whole realm, we need to know where we stand. The Lord is our hiding place. We need to know our spiritual weapons. Everyone, last night I was meeting with the youth leaders. And we're talking about how to do deliverance, how to be a priest, how to be a function as a king, how to cast out demons, how to pray as a priest, how to take authority as a king. And we understand this principle from this pulpit, that the devil can never touch you. Why? We are born again by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 5:18. We are born of God. The evil one cannot touch you. He cannot harm you. Repeated in Luke 10:19. But the devil can oppress you. He can harass you when you give him a ground, a doorway, a foothold. Ephesians 4:27. Don't give the devil a place. Don't give the devil a foothold. Alright, the bottom line, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about always praying, always connecting with God. And the picture of always praying and always connecting with God is that of a child coming to the Heavenly Father. A child doesn't need protocol. When a child wants to come to the Father, Daddy, he will just run and boom, jump into his arms. Oh, Mommy, alright, I'm hungry, I want to eat ice cream now. Okay, you got ice cream, alright. There is no protocol. He doesn't need permission. And that's the way Father God, in the song that we sang, there's no more fear in our lives. I am a child of God. The key to always pray is to come to God always as His child. Not as orphans. We are not orphans. What is an orphan? An orphan is a person without a father and a mother. That is an orphan. So don't operate out of an orphan spirit. We must operate out of a spirit of sonship. I am a child of God. And this is the key to victory. And the key to this is to pursue what we call a guilt-free, no condemnation relationship with God. When we have a guilt-free, a child is guilt-free. I mean, what, you know? A child will just run into the arms of the father, tell the father, whisper sweet nothings into his ears, alright? Pull his ear and whatever. A child, that kind of a relationship of total trust, total abandonment, total dependency on the Father. Zephaniah 3,
The Father God danced over us. He rejoiced over us with singing. He wants us to approach Him. In fact, the first thing that happens at our conversion, Romans 8, is we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we call God Abba Father. I don't know, maybe sang the song just now, I keep on calling him Abba Father, Father. Call him Papa, Dad, Father, whatever phrase you are familiar with. He is our loving Heavenly Father. Jesus told the parable in Luke 18:1, that a parable that we ought always to pray. We should always pray and not lose heart. We will lose heart. I mentioned earlier, and this part about not losing heart and always pray is a picture of someone who is connecting with God always. I met this man, know him for less than 2 years, and he was sharing this story with me. He was a teacher in the past. He says, every day I would alight from Kembangan MRT station. He was a teacher in this special school on the slopes in Kembangan. I have to walk up the slope to my school. I always stop at a tree and admire the wild stag. The wild stag horn fern. This is a wild stag horn fern. Alright. Wild stag, S-T-A-G, horn, H-O-R-N, fern, F-E-R-N. So I admire this wild stag horn fern growing up high on the tree. These beautiful stag horn ferns are beautiful and they are relatively expensive. So I would tell the Lord how much I admire the fern, and I would like to have them. So one day he attended a seminar, and he read a book by Heidi Baker, alright, about entitled Always Enough. I want to be full of faith. And because this book and this seminar challenges them to draw near to God, to connect with God, and to ask in faith from the Heavenly Father who loves us, who gives good things. Luke chapter 11, alright, a son comes to a father, asks for bread, asks for an egg, alright, you will not get a stone, you will not get a snake. And at that point of time, he was growing in his Christian life. He was close to God. His faith was full. So he boldly asked. He said, my faith was founded on what my Father is capable of giving me. But this wild stag horn fern is up on the tree. He's down there on the ground. So all I did was to seize the opportunity for God to do something impossible by activating my faith. To my amazement, a boom lift that was repairing the lights or whatever of the light that was situated nearby swung and hit the tree, and the stag horn fell down. I heard God speak. I spoke the word and the fern fell. I was stunned. He himself was stunned. He picked up the huge fern, and today this one is potted, planted in his house, in his HDB house in Tampines. The picture of a child asking the Father for the desire of your heart and see what God will do for you. We need to move on from there to understand that whenever we do the Word of God, we are living in the end times. Next month, September, I think by now, many of you would have come across a lot of prophecies about the full moon. You know, there are four full moons, 2014 and 2015. The last one will be the 20-something of September. And right now, there are many rumblings that's going on. All right. And I was asking the Lord, how do I make it out? How do I make out something out of it? The Lord used the word birth pangs came to my mind. What are birth pangs? Repeat, all right? They are contractions a pregnant woman feel. Initially, they are mild and they are few in number. As the time of delivery of the child, the contractions get more frequent and more intense. The storms are already here. I mean, talk about the month of June. The China stock market dropped by a third. We talk about natural calamities. You just saw this big fire, all right? The fire is not a natural calamity. This warehouse in Tianjin, all right? The Sabah earthquake and so forth. So you talk here about wars and rumors of wars. Jesus already mentioned this in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. But right now, you look at some happening, some stirring. There appears to be something greater, a greater storm coming. The Shemitah, the 7 year, the two previous 7 years, all right? At 2001, you saw the crash. 98, you saw the crash, and now we're coming to 2015. Is it going to happen? Now, whether it's going to happen exactly, all that, I don't know. You know, I mentioned about the banks in New York, they have moved their database center now to Chicago. The U.S. police, now they have, I just read just a few days ago, they have accumulated another, don't know how many millions of bullets, fearing riots. Reading this article, so many people are storing food and supplies. The supplier of all this food which they keep for emergencies, all of them are out of stock. Now, I believe the U.S. is going to be hit harder
And in the month of June, you know, the Supreme Court has moved the boundaries and defied God, redefined what is gender and marriage. And you see the repercussions. I showed you a shock video 2 weeks ago about Trans Norway. In the month of September 2, the United Nations are going to gather for this so-called Agenda 21 meeting. The Pope is going to address the United Nations, so will the President of China, so will President Putin, alright? And I mentioned that in Daniel 9:25, talking about the Antichrist, we do not know who he is now, that he will make a covenant with many. And we ask the question, who are these many? I was just thinking, how does he make a covenant with many? Many has to be many. Today there's only one organization that represents many countries of the world, and that is the United Nations. Is something going to happen this end of September? I don't know. All we know is Jesus has said in his word that the rain will fall, verse 25, Matthew 7. The floods will come, the winds will blow and beat on our lives. Some more than others. He gave us a promise. If we hear the word of God and we do the word of God, what did Jesus say? We need to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Because Jesus said in Luke 21, when all these things are beginning to happen, you see the signs in the heavens, the signs on the earth, and the wars and the calamities, he says the hearts of many will be dissipated. We will lose hope, we'll be despondent. And because lawlessness increase, the agape, the love of believers, will grow cold. How do we get ready for the Lord's coming? Hearing the word of God, doing the word of God. And here we're talking about developing a life, our prayer closet, to always pray. So that as we are blessed, as we are sheltered, as we are protected, God will give us the wisdom. Now, different one of us will have to do different things. For some of us, this is a great opportunity. Load up your liquidity. It's time to invest. You're going to make a lot of profit out of it. And you make a lot out of it, you'll be blessed to be a blessing to others. For some of us, we have to get out and make sure you're liquid. For some of us, we have to get our marriage in order. Some of us, our health in order. Some of us, our families in order. Some of us, our spirituality. Before there is corporate revival again and again, there must be personal revival. And all of us are just 1 inch away from personal revival. The 1 inch is in your will to decide. I want to be personally revived. I want to walk close with God. I want to be rooted to the Word of God. I want to be connected to the Holy Spirit. I want to be in the body of Christ. I want to belong to a cell group, a church, where I can sense the presence of God in worship. Where I'll hear the Word of God in season. Where my faith is built up. And where I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. Where the love of God flows into my life and flows out of my life to bless so many others. Some of you are dry spiritually. Today, the Lord is saying it begins with you. Judgment begins in the house of God. Judgment begins. God won't judge the world yet. God always judges the church, the people of God. Judgment begins in the life of the people of God. There's fear of tomorrow. There's fear of not enough. There's fears of calamity. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears. And in that song, all fears are gone because I am a child of God. Some of you need to come up here to rebuild your altar to the Lord. Some of you need someone to pray with you and for you. Let's stand as we worship the Lord. I'm a child of God.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.
Sing to the Lord.
Of deliverance from my enemies, to all my fears are gone. I've been born again into your
For breakthroughs. We're looking for the Lord to part the sea, as the Lord parted the sea for Israel to enter the promised land. You are still struggling with fears. I want to encourage you to come. The Lord is here. There's grace here. We're going to sing the bridge to ask the Lord to part the sea. If there's some issue in your life and you want to see a breakthrough, ask the Lord, would you come as we sing the song?
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My tears were drowning perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
You split the sea.
You split the sea so walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand
and sing.
I am a child of God.
You split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing.
Hallelujah.
I am a child of God.
Declare it, church. Declare it for yourself.
I am a child of God.
No longer a slave to fear.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Take it again. Name your fears to the Lord. Name your fears and cast them out. Fear of tomorrow, fear of financial failures, fear of your health, fear of failure.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you, the Lord.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I am a child of God.
Of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Sing until you get into your spirit, man.
I am a child.
Let it sing into our spirit, Lord.
No longer feel I could walk right through it.
Walk right.
pray after me. Father God, I thank you. I am your child. Father, I thank you. I am deeply loved. I am completely forgiven. I have divine wisdom. I have divine favor. I am protected in the secret place of the Most High God. My enemies will fall around me. 1,000 will fall at my right hand. 10,000 will fall at my left hand. I'm always the head. I'm not the tail. You have placed me always on top. I am not below the circumstances. I am a child of God. When God is for me, who can be against me? Every fear, every worry, every anxiety, every stress, Lord, I commit to you. I am perfected in your love. There is no fear in my life. I will trust in the Lord, and the Lord will deliver me from all my fears. I will hear your word, Lord. I will apply your word. I will be obedient. I will build my life on the rock, and I will not be shaken. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give my life to you in surrender. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen.